Welcome to the latest Stockhouse Investor Podcast, where you get up-to-date information on the sectors, the companies, and the trends which are competing for your investment dollars. Today, we will be speaking with geologist Byron King, editor of The Gold Speculator, to take a closer look at the gold sector. So what is up with the gold market? Gold mine production is now falling. Mine reserves for the gold mining industry are at a 30-year low. Yet the price of gold is languishing below the minimum price level necessary to sustain the industry. Large cap gold mining companies like to point to a statistic they call the all-in sustainable costs of their gold production, but those are fantasy numbers. They don't take into account the price level necessary to support the junior gold mining companies who find almost all of the gold that is mined by these senior mining companies. What price level is really required to sustain the gold mining industry and thus the gold market itself? There is no precise answer to that question, but it became nearly impossible for these junior miners to continue to fund their operations as soon as the price of gold descended below $1,500 US an ounce. While capital raising became a little easier for these companies in 2016, depressing conditions persist throughout most of the gold mining industry. Where is the price of gold headed in 2018? What price level is necessary to sustain the gold mining industry and replenish depleted reserves? Stockhouse recently had the opportunity to talk gold with Byron King, an honors graduate in geology from Harvard University and editor of The Gold Speculator. Byron will be talking to us today about his top pick for investors and why you should be excited to take advantage of it. I'm Jonathan Brown on behalf of Stockhouse Editorial, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Byron King. So we're here today to get his insights on the gold market as we head into 2018. Thanks for joining me today, Byron.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
So first question, Bitcoin is currently surging towards $20,000 while gold is struggling around $1,250. There's arguably an incredible dislocation in the market for the gold price. So is the gold price even relative to Bitcoin's mispriced, and where can we go in 2018?
Well, that raises numerous points. A couple of things that we should say about that is that the price of gold is relatively inverse to the strength of the dollar, or it's highly related to the strength or weakness of the dollar. When the dollar weakens, gold prices rise. When the dollar strengthens, gold prices fall. So there is a very strong dollar and gold relationship that's been around for decades. I mean, you know, it goes way back. And that's even without even using the historical reference to gold, the 4,000 years of gold. Now along comes Bitcoin. In the last couple of years, really, it's a complete newcomer to the market, and it's an electronic product. It's just a product of electrons. It's prime numbers. It's prime numbers that are factored to make a very, very large number. It uses a lot of computing power and a lot of electricity. But there's while gold has been declining in a sort of end of the year swoon for a variety of explainable reasons, the Federal Reserve and it's kind of a general ennui with the sector after a 2-year run, Bitcoin is exploding upwards. Well, the dollar might be in trouble, but it's not in the kind of trouble that ought to take a unit of value from pick a number from $2,000 Bitcoin to $20,000 Bitcoin. I mean, the dollar may have declined, but it hasn't declined 90%. I mean, you can still buy that gallon of gas, that gallon of milk, that loaf of bread, that pair of shoes, for more or less what you could buy it for a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So there is a true element of just bubbly thinking about Bitcoin right now. The most telling indicator of the bubble nature of Bitcoin, as I saw an article not long ago about a pole dancer in Australia who gave up pole dancing to trade Bitcoin. And I'm like, okay, well, when the pole dancers of Australia are trading Bitcoin, we are not dealing with a serious product. And so I'm not saying you can't make money at it. If you think you're going to time the market and get out just before it crashes, I say good luck to you. For our purposes, I'm watching what's going on, but I think that the real gold, physical gold, is a completely different product as opposed to Bitcoin. And as for the gold price on a day-to-day basis, I mean, it's if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know that it's heavily manipulated. I mean, every morning, you know, somebody dumps a bunch of gold on the London market, and at the end of the day, you know, somebody else dumps a bunch of gold onto an Asian market, and you know, there's paper gold and there's real gold, and there's plenty of paper, and as we'll get to in a moment, there's truly not enough gold.
Interesting. Yeah. So to that end, there's a real supply demand issue with gold, and that supply in the form of resources and reserves, like you're saying, have been gradually falling. Gold industry reserves are at a decade low now, and according to recent studies, the unit cost for discovering a new gold resource in the ground is about $50 an ounce. So what are your thoughts on this trend of declining gold resources?
Well, first of all, it's pure absolute logic that you cannot mine what has not been discovered. And you know, that's true with pretty much everything. That's true of you can't mine you can't pump oil that hasn't been discovered. And so you can't mine gold that hasn't been discovered. The discovery numbers fell off a cliff probably 15 to 20 years ago. There are some famous charts. Goldcorp, which knows a few things about gold, has a peak gold thesis. When you look at the discovery numbers from years ago, and then you know when you consider how long it takes to you know move a project from an exploration phase through development and into production, and even take it from early stage production to a full scale type of production, I mean you're looking at a 20 year time frame. Maybe some you know wonderful company with brilliant management and you know grease the skids can maybe they can do it you know faster than that, but really when you're looking at any significant project, it's a 20 year idea, and that will take you through several business cycles, several economic cycles, numerous presidents of the United States, you know, 10 congresses, at least 3 Senate cycles, you know, so I mean there's a lot of things that can go wrong in those 20 years. Right now, the gold industry itself, the mining industry, is reflecting the low prices of the late 1990s and very early 2000s, back in the days of $250, $280 gold. And then, even though gold prices rose all through the first decade of the 2000s, you know, from that $250 through $280, $300 level up to, you know, at one point in 2011, about $1,900 an ounce, you know, so did all the input costs. I mean, labor costs were out of control. I mean, oil went from, oil went from 20 bucks a barrel to over 100 bucks a barrel. Now oil is, down in the $50, $55, $60 barrel, depending on, you know, what, over the last say 2 or 3 months, but really, when you're mining gold and when you're producing gold, what are you producing? You are producing something that's representative of labor costs, machinery costs, fuel costs. I mean, you spend a lot of money buying that diesel fuel or buying the electricity that you need to run the plant. So you can't just look at gold on a day-to-day basis and say, oh, look, an ounce of gold. Somebody mined an ounce of gold today. No, somebody mined an ounce of gold today based on 20 years of effort. And if the price that they sell that gold for tonight or tomorrow morning doesn't, you know, pay back that 20 years of effort, when you accumulate that over months and years and even decades, you will undermine the economics of the entire industry, and that's where you get declining supply curves.
Continuing this forward thinking, and given the long time horizon to bring new mines into production, what sustained price level do you think we need to see to get mine production rising again?
Well, the last not quite 2 years since January of 2016, so we're about 22 months into it, 23 months into it. Have given a nice shot in the arm to the exploration side of the industry, to the development side of the industry, but we still have not seen, the flood of new money that the industry really needs. Now the industry, in some respects, has been its own worst enemy. The industry, during the last upcycle, grossly misspent. I mean, the idea was ounces, 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 without respect to profitability of the ounces. Without respect to the cost of inputs and they burned through a lot of good capital, and so the people who control the big money in the world are still severely disciplining the management teams within the gold mining industry to produce profitable ounces. It's almost Rob McEwen, who founded and built Goldcorp, and who now has a company called McEwen Mining. He tells a great story about how one time he went into his geologist's office and said, "I want all of you to stop finding gold." And they all looked at him like, "Well, you're crazy. We're geologists. We work for a gold mining company. That's our job, to find gold." "Well, Mr. McEwen, what do you want us to do?" He says, "I want you to find me profitable gold, not just gold, but profitable gold, because that's the key. I mean, it's the key to everything. The gold mining business is a business." And so, in terms of what sustained price level do you think we need to see? Frankly, a lot of projects can make money right now. A lot of projects are making money right now. But in terms of supplying the future gold that the world needs to see, we need to go from this. Right now, we're in the $1,250 range. We need to see $1,500 gold in 2018. And I'd like to see, just in terms of gross numbers, round numbers, I'd like to see $1,750 in the year 2019. I mean, if we see prices rising like that, that will be enough, I think, to bring out the exploration teams and to bring out the best in the exploration teams and to get some of these stalled developments past the finish line, so that they can go from being just sort of eternal perpetual developments into actual up and running production projects.
We scanned through the portfolio of companies you cover in your Gold Speculator newsletter and noticed that gold mining is one company you feel really stands out as being undervalued, with almost 20 million ounces of gold resources and trading at around $6 an ounce. Can you give us your thoughts on this company and why you like it at its current market prices?
Well, yes, you're referring to what we call the enterprise value per ounce. You take the number of ounces that a company might have under its control in terms of the resource base, and then you divide it into the market cap of the company. And so basically what we're talking with gold mining is $6 an ounce for gold in the ground. Now, what I like about gold mining is its business model is to buy distressed assets, not bad assets, but just distressed for one reason or another assets while they are cheap. If you're a company and you've got some money in the bank, you can do a couple different things with it. You can go out and you can buy more land position or mineral claims, what have you, or you can take that money and you can invest it in hiring lots of geologists at drilling companies and going out there and drilling away. Now, at the end of the day, yeah, sure, you're going to have to hire the geologist and you're going to have to go out and drill some holes in the ground and prove up what's there. But the other angle to that is that when you go into some of these remote regions, the cost of drilling is in the range of $200, $250, $300 a meter to drill a hole in an austere environment. Once you move the rig up there, once you fly the diesel fuel in, once you bring the crew in, once you bring in all the food, once you bring in all the tenting that they need to work in an austere environment. When you throw it all in and you add it all up in the mix, you're looking at $200 and $300 a meter to drill holes. Well, at this point of the business cycle, at this point of the gold cycle, management of Gold Mining Inc. would rather take its money and buy distressed assets in attractive jurisdictions. I mean, so they control major gold districts or mineralized gold arenas in Alaska, in British Columbia, in the Northwest Territories, in Colombia, and in Brazil, and in Peru. And so they're all over the map in a sense, but they're in the Western Hemisphere. They're in jurisdictions where you can work. I mean, obviously Canada is a great jurisdiction, and Peru is a great jurisdiction. Brazil is workable. Colombia is workable. And so they have spent their money, instead of making a major full court press to take one or two properties and really, you know, drill the heck out of them and come up with some eye-popping number, you know, spending that, you know, pick a number, $150, $200, $250 a meter to drill those holes. They are acquiring ounces in the ground or pounds in the ground, you know, of copper and gold and silver, things like that. And then when the price of gold does go up, you know, that other, you know, $150, $250 an ounce that we were talking about earlier, when that price goes up, you know, then, you know, now they've got a balance sheet that shows, you know, a very strong resource base, and the idea is that they should be able to raise sufficient money to do what they need to do in terms of the rest of the exploration, and then roll it into development and eventually roll it into production, or along the way, you know, farm it out, you know, joint venture it out with somebody else who wants to be in the mine building business.
In summary, the gold industry cannot be sustained at its current price levels. Unless consumers lose their desire to own jewelry and central banks lose their desire for gold bars, the price of gold must rise. As investors look to position themselves for a rising market, junior gold mining companies offer excellent leverage and value opportunities. This is Jonathan Brown, and I've been speaking with Byron King. Thanks for spending time with me today. For our listeners, thank you for joining us. As always, investors are reminded to do their own due diligence before making any investment decision.